There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over a million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
It's not just coaches and players who may deserve another consideration from us. Reputation-wise. Chuck Oliver Show on a Wednesday. How are you today? Where are you? Where are you right now? Are you in Meridian, Mississippi? What up, Sean? They're the OG. They're the first affiliate we ever had. Fantastic folks over there. Mobile, Huntsville, Pascagoula, Jacksonville, Florida. So many wonderful places. I appreciate y'all having us in your house, your car, your office, wherever you're listening to us. Thank y'all. I really appreciate that every day. We talk college football here, and in the era of name, image, likeness, there are a lot of coaches and players who we have given a little bit of a second consideration of. I had considered my opinion of you before, and it was written in stone, and then I looked the other way for a year, a decade, I don't know, half a lifetime. And now, wait a minute, name, image, likeness? Maybe I should consider what I think of you a second time. Because I'd already decided, because you're a rule breaker and a cheater and a bad person. I will say, I went to Las Vegas in May of 2018. And I have had no, I mean, folks, I'm as square as it is growing up. But I'm in Las Vegas, and I was like, all right, marijuana and all related products are legal. I want to go see what this stuff looks like. When I got in a cab at the airport, I was like, take me somewhere. I want to take me to a dispensary. I walked in, and it looked like an Apple store. It was run like an Apple store. You cross a state line and somebody doing the exact same stuff is behind bars, and I'm in life for a long, long time. And so no political commentary here, just the changing times. I'm looking at somebody who did the exact same thing just a day or a year or a decade earlier, and they're still in jail. Name, image, likeness in a much more frivolous way. Coaches and players who we used to look at, Reggie Bush. Here's the funny thing about Reggie Bush. Do we all get this? Like, USC got in trouble, right? They got penalized. Lane Kiffin's the coach, and they're like, oh, by the way, you get 30 fewer scholarships. Excuse me? We only have 85. No, you had 85. You get 30 less over the next 3 years. Well, dag. Reggie Bush, he didn't get paid to go to USC. They got in trouble. They played an ineligible player. Reggie never got paid to go to USC. Reggie got paid to leave USC. And somehow, the Trojans got busted for this. And we're taking away the Heisman, and you didn't win the national championship that year, and Tuberville's like, can I have it? So I think most of us, like Reggie Bush, wasn't he on the pay no mind list? And then all of a sudden he's on a Wendy's commercial. Isn't he on the Wendy's commercial? Is it he and Reggie Miller? And like, here's what I love. Guys who get another bite at the apple, because most often we don't enjoy it when it comes like we had a plan and then I'll make the NBA. And then when you do make the NBA, you're like, yeah. Well, after you've been out of the NBA for a while, I like looking on a Tostitos commercial and seeing Dominique Wilkins on it, you know? Get paid, man. And so Reggie Bush is on a Wendy's commercial, whereas like 5 years ago, pre-name, image, likeness, cheater, Give me that Heisman back. You're not welcome here. Imagine getting every, like, November for a decade. Every, like, clockwork, folks. You go out to the mailbox. Oh, there's my ballot because I'm a former winner. Imagine the first Thanksgiving when it hits you and you're like, oh, yeah, that's right. I didn't get that envelope this year because they kicked me out. Like, they turned the ring, like, they faced the other way and you had to walk out the gate of the Citadel. That's Reggie Bush. Bad guy, cheater. Reggie Bush now, he's selling biscuits. Name, image, likeness has done that to a lot of folks. And we joke about it. Hey, Hugh Freeze, he should be really well prepared for this. And that was supposed to be kind of a zinger. And I was like, yeah, probably. So we have reconsidered a lot of coaches and players, reputation-wise. They broke rules like Laramie Tunsil, honestly. Laramie, he fell in the draft. Now, he had a gas mask on, and he was smoking marijuana through, and it was just like it was a hit job on him. And so he fell in the draft like, I don't know, about six spots is the guess. Laramie Tunsil also had to answer a lot of questions about being a greedy, selfish, rule-breaking cheater. You know why? I'm sure there are some items I'm going to leave out. Best I recall, Laramie Tunsil got a rental car and a light bill paid and like $300 one time. Ole Miss got an NFL left tackle. Like, as an 18-year-old, he did the Bama thing. Laramie Tunsil showed up. He's like, hi, I'm the left tackle. And who was the next guy? Was it Greg Little that we thought, he's the next one? And, like, took Little like a second. And then they're like, okay, he's good too. Laramie Tunsil showed up, and I was like, Ole Miss doesn't have guys like this very often. He's that guy you look at right now, and you say, all right, well, he's playing in the league. And then clutch the pearls. Shocked. He got $300, and he did get a light bill. And was it the mama's boyfriend that got angry? And I rented a car for him, too. Shocked, I say. And so they got busted, and there was more. There was additional stuff. But we looked at all that, and we're like, yeah, Laramie Tunsil's bad guy because of those, like, accumulation of things. Do you know how much some backup quarterbacks got paid? And I mean straight cash. Over the past couple of years, a backup quarterback just to not leave. You're not going to play this year. We're not paying you to do that. We're paying you to stay so that maybe next year you play. Oh, yeah, okay. Laramie Tunsil, rental car. So I think back now to Laramie, and I'm like, that was the thought in 2013, 14, 15, whatever. When Hugh Freeze sent that, if you have any facts, here's the compliance. You know, like, I don't think I'd have done that, brother. But he sent it. And so that was the end. You cheater, and we're coming after you. It's decades later. And we still talk about Charlie Pell. I was talking about him a couple of weeks ago. If you don't know who Charlie Pell is, go read his Wikipedia. He's a really good coach. Well, he knew his way around the rule book. And when I say around the rule book, like around the rule book. It happened a lot. SMU, folks, it happened. Worst cheaters in history. Are they? They now send out memes with the Trans Am on it. Come play football at SMU. Maybe you get a Trans Am now. Lean into it, brothers. 2024. Don't we look at the SMU scandal differently? Now, the people were still, I mean, they were just as scatterbrained, less sense than God gave a barn cat. When it goes all the way up to the governor and he doesn't wash his hands of it, I mean, come on, folks. So it was, in the time 40 years ago, cheaters, corruption. And now we look differently even at the program. It may go beyond that. I don't know if you saw this. A couple of months back, Heath may be old enough to remember these guys. But back in December, right around Christmas, 91-year-old man passed, multimillionaire. He had been a mock out in Hollywood. And then he got into the sports agents business. Back in December, a guy named Norby Walters died. Norby Walters and Lloyd Bloom, folks, they stole from the collection plate. they were on the grassy knoll. That, like, everything you can come up with, Illuminati, just some, whatever it is, it was them. Do you know why? Because they signed college kids to representation contracts and started putting together deals with, like, I don't know, Adidas and Pepsi. We've got all these deals ready. We'll give you the money now. You just got to agree, like, when you're going, we'll represent you. And so it worked for a while until it didn't work. And mostly because you're dealing with college kids and their families and, well, I want more money now. When you're entering into an illegal operation and you think you have bought a kid, that's the phrase. No, the kid got you. And so, folks, the federal BI got involved. Like, Norby Walters and Lloyd Bloom were the worst of the worst. Agents were just terrible people anyway, but these guys, this is greed and exploiting college kids. They were putting together marketing deals and representation contracts and giving legal advice to college athletes. 40 years ago, it's like they suggested closing the Vatican. Beyond that, I'll tell you first, I was around this person one time, Bobby Lauder. Do you know the name? He used to be, I think, president or owner or something. I don't want to get it wrong, so I'm just going to say my recollection is, like, basically owned this thing called Colonial Bank. Colonial Bank doesn't exist anymore. Whoever banking authority shut it down. All kinds of allegations, this, that, and the third. But Bobby Lauder, someone had said that his attitude, and I don't know what this is. I can't quote whatever. I'm just going to tell you. His attitude, why would anybody buy an NFL team? I own a college team for $10 million a year. Like, my understanding was Bobby Lauder was giving Auburn $10 million a year. I don't know if that's true or not. That's what I was told. You know what you get for $10 million? About everything you want. A bunch of tickets? No, that's not what I'm talking about. Parking up front? That's not what I'm saying. You get to pick the football coach sometimes. Heath, $10 million a year back in 2002? You get to pick the football coach, right?
Terry Bowden would certainly tell you yes.
So, Bobby Lauder, it was a good, because NFL teams, the Falcons sold, I remember, they went for $550 million. And it was about that time that it was at least attributed. Why would I do that? I get Auburn for $10 million. And while wanting to be indignant and say, no, you don't, I was like, no, man, maybe he does. Well, Bobby Lauder, again, because it was so unusual for somebody to be, you got the lead and he knew how to swing it, man. It was a sledgehammer, a financial sledgehammer. You know what you got now? Marketing firms, Madison Avenue. You've got SEC quarterbacks pimping Nutella. You've got SEC quarterbacks. When I say is Alabama, Florida, Georgia, LSU, we know the big brands there, Auburn, Texas A&M. You've got an SEC quarterback in Oxford, Mississippi, endorsing a PJ. And Bobby Lauder was evil. Y'all remember Logan Young? The Alabama booster? Here's what I recall, and I could, again, Google my computer, but I think I remember this. Logan Young, basically, he paid a high school coach $150,000 for a defensive lineman for Alabama. Today, he could just pay the kid if he wanted, but he probably wouldn't get Albert Means for $150,000. Not today. Now, in like 2000 or 1 or 2 or whenever the Albert Means thing coming out of Memphis was the Wild West for a while. And I don't know why it stopped. Maybe because most of the talent moved to the middle of the state or even east. But there was an Alabama booster and it went bad for him. Suffice to say, it went bad for him.
I think that would be accurate, yes.
So before it went bad, he sent $150,000 to this high school coach to purchase a high school defensive tackle, and you could do that now. Just a lot more direct, and there's no chicanery involved. So I remember seeing the Norby Walters headline a couple of months ago, and I was like, all the guy did was what, like, you can find ads online. You can see the communications now. You can see the pitches. All they did was exactly what almost every agent is clamoring to do as publicly as possible today. The NBA itself. We're going to take high school kids and pay them. Wasn't that what the Ignite was? Yeah. Oh, you don't want to play college? Yeah, we don't want you to play college either. Come play for us. They had three kids in like the top five or six in the NBA draft. So it's just a different time. And if we're looking differently at Reggie Bush and we're looking differently at some of the coaches, we probably need to kind of even look further off the field to some of the agents, the boosters, et cetera, because it's the same thing, man. What got them in touch and the reputation and, oh, they're bad people today, it's what folks are trying to convince you they're best at. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll continue on this Wednesday next.
The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Now we go. Here it's all college football on Chuck Oliver Show. I had mentioned a few weeks ago, I was talking about the Trevor Lawrence, the freshman year Trevor Lawrence had, and the fact that it's about as great a season as you can have. Go 15-0, win the national championship with a true freshman at quarterback. Like, that's the springboard, man. That's like, it's, you don't get any better. And so when you look at some of the seasons that Clemson had in and around Deshaun and Trevor Lawrence was the start to all this. But it's every time that the ACC had a pop season where we really believed in them in football, folks, it was about the quarterback play. There have been seasons where the ACC has at least been in the running for a discussion. And boy, I'm trying to couch that in every phrase possible. There have been seasons when the ACC has been every bit as much the discussion about who's the best conference in college football. ACC as much as Big Ten or SEC. There have been those seasons. When that's been the case, it's because you had Ian Book in the conference. And he was an NFL draft pick, and he was a multi-year starter. And Ian Book, for a college quarterback, I say NFL draft pick, that's just a relation. I don't care what they do on Sundays. It's a totally different thing. I'm talking about as a college quarterback. How did the college conference, ACC, get to maybe be the best conference in football in an odd year or two? Behind quarterback play and quarterbacks like Ian Book. Ian Book's about the fifth best quarterback in the conference that year. Kenny Pickett was pretty good. Malik Cunningham, yeah, I like him a lot. Trevor Lawrence, I don't know. Sam Howell, De'Arik King, Sam Hartman, Chase Bright. Do y'all folks, all of these guys, Brennan Armstrong in his go-round at Virginia. Hendon Hooker was at Virginia Tech. Folks, if you go back 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, when the ACC was hitting its own mountaintops, it was based around, hey, and look at the quarterbacks. That is the quickest, most predictable path out for a conference. If you want to change your visibility, you want to change what people are thinking about you in one season, what do you do with the quarterbacks? The Pac-12, we were mocking point and laughing. Your final season, you know what the Pac-12 did? They came out and had their best year in I don't know how long. Oregon and USC and some of the others didn't actually bring it home at the end. Folks, that was the best season that conference has had in years and years. And do you know why? Quarterback at Oregon, quarterback at UW, quarterback at Oregon State, quarterback at Southern Cal, quarterback, everywhere was quarterbacks. So the ACC this year, if you're looking for like that Pac-12 season from 2023, they don't have it in them, man. Start running through your rankings. I was talking about this yesterday in the process to do it, and he's going to do it. We're going to talk about it maybe tomorrow, Friday. But I was talking about ranking SEC quarterbacks in a particular way to kind of go about generating your rank. Do that with the ACC. First of all, you can't name them, and that's fine. That you're not supposed to be able to name them. He's starting to, like, look sideways, and he's got that dog, like, where that one ear just went up. He can't name them. And when you do start, like the ones you can name, you pretty quickly run out of the ones you like. So that path is not there for the ACC in 2024. It just doesn't exist. There will be some surprises in good ways. There will be some teams you look around and go, wow, I didn't know Riley Leonard was that good. Then there will be some others where you look around and say they started four quarterbacks this year. Hey, how's the Wednesday?
Wednesday's good, Chuck. You know, there's a story that this had been proposed and it got rejected the first time, but I guess now it's back in a different capacity and might get somewhere. It looks like we might see the end to what I think is one of the dumber things we've got right now in college football. We've got this ability, obviously, for, at this point, schools to do whatever they want with regards to trying to go after players. And yet we have staffs that have, in some cases, you know, 15, 20, 25 extra people on the staff. Billy Napier, go look at that Florida staff and everybody in that picture. And yet there's still that restriction. You may know football. You might have things to add, but you can't actively coach football. And it looks like maybe that's going to look at being, at minimum it's being looked at, it may go away. The NCAA Football Oversight Committee is proposing that staffers, that means analysts, that means quality control guys, whoever, if they're on the staff, they would be allowed to coach players. So no more of the shocking scandal of the guy who's on the staff, who's a defensive coordinator in the past, who's an analyst, actually got out to say, no, this is how you play the coverage, and somebody saw him do it, and oh my gosh, that's an extra coach. No more of that. If you're on the staff and the coach wants to let you coach football, you would be able to coach football. There'd still be the restriction on the number of assistant coaches who can go
and
out and recruit. Oh, no, you can even get on the headset under this.
Unlimited headsets?
If you're a coach, you can coach. It doesn't matter whether your title is quality control, analyst, whatever. You can apparently, under this proposal, coach during the game, coach during the practice. The one thing you wouldn't be able to do is go out and recruit. You'd still have the same limit on 10 staffers and the head coach are the ones who go on the road. But everything else, if you're at a practice and you want to jump in and tell the linebacker the technique, you could. Now, again, it's not official yet, but the fact that the Oversight Committee is proposing it means there's a really good chance it will be. And frankly, I think it should be. I mean, again, this is penny ante stuff getting worked up because someone who knows how to coach coaches sometime. That's not a problem college football needs to worry about.
Yeah, for a minute it was as simple as, is there a football there? Well, then you can't have someone who's not an actual coach there at the same time.
Now more college football.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over a million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Wednesday on the Chuck Oliver Show, and we're talking college football. It's what we do every single day. Been doing it for 10 years, 9 states and 60 sticks. What a wonderful blessing. I certainly appreciate that. Hugh Freeze working his way into year two. There should be more of a feel right now. And that feel that I said is missing in on the plains, there should be more of a feel of, like, there's an op that this is, like, there's a window right now. You've been waiting for the house to fall on the witch for, like, how long? And, like, then he left. Like, there's supposed to be more optimism and more, and Auburn fans are like, yeah, who's the quarterback, actually? So, a lot to talk about. Turn to a guy who's been covering Auburn for a minute. On Three Sports is a great place to go read about the Auburn Tigers, and it's Justin Hokanson. Justin, welcome back, friend. How are you today?
Good, man. How you guys doing?
I'm doing all right. Who's the quarterback? It's going to be Peyton Thorne unless something odd happens. But talk Peyton Thorne, and I'm not trying to gin up any sort of controversy, but like I have this feeling that come April 15th, it's going to redefine what Mad Rush to the Portal is. I think for whatever reason, that thing's going to open up. But let's start with Peyton Thorne and then tell me how April 15th may or may not affect that.
I think it's going to be interesting. I mean, Peyton's the guy for right now. I mean, not much is clear. I think Peyton's had a pretty good spring. I think they're working with all the quarterbacks on just making quicker decisions. And this offense, that's just got to be the thing with this read and react RPO. It's got to be getting the decision-making, just speeding that up. So that's probably the biggest thing that they're working on with the quarterbacks, and probably the biggest thing that I've heard that is still a work in progress. But Peyton's the guy for now, and that's going to be the question on April 15th. How much progress does Peyton make in the spring? How comfortable do they feel, and do they go after a portal quarterback? I don't know. I'm guessing right now because I don't think they even know. I think they will look at one really hard because, first of all, if I had to guess, I think somebody's leaving. Like Holden Garner is just if he doesn't come out of the spring in really good shape, I just don't see why he would stay. Just a logical, practical standpoint with Walker White and Hank Brown there. So if Holden leaves, and again, not saying he is or isn't, but if he does, you have a spot there that if you're Hugh Freeze, you can say, well, I want four quarterbacks, so I'm just going to go replace Holden with one. That makes sense. You're not bringing on like a fifth portal quarterback. So I think if one were to leave, it makes it, to me, pretty easy to go get one.
And no matter who's doing it, they've got to have guys. And I've used this. I started talking a couple of years ago. I was like, nobody on the outside wins at the line of scrimmage. Auburn doesn't have a single receiver who looks like a third-team All-SEC guy. That nobody wins on the line. What about some of these big freshmen? Talk about what you've seen so far. Cam Coleman apparently is eye-popping.
Yeah, he's having a great spring. I mean, he's from anybody you talk to, he's what he was advertised to be. He's a really good kid. He's had a great attitude. Our guy Jeffrey Lee had a video yesterday from practice where he makes a one-handed catch turning back shoulder. He's just got stuff that you can't coach. And so I think the only real question with him is just how quickly does he pick up the offense in terms of reading the defense, knowing what route to run, just in that RPO system. That takes some skill and takes some time. But other than that, he's been everything I think they wanted him to be. And so we'll just see how it translates into games. He's been fantastic. I think it'll be interesting to see what else happens at the receiver position. Like Robert Lewis is really good from Georgia State.
Yeah.
We heard him being talked about as maybe the most polished receiver there. So interested to see sort of what he looks like. And then, of course, you've got Rivaldo Fairweather, who's kind of a big receiver. He just needs to be more consistent. So all the attention's on Cam, but, man, they need more than one. You need more than one to step up. So that position, to me, still seems like a mystery. I'm very much like, show me, and then I'll believe it at that position.
Yeah, talk a little more about Rivaldo Fairweather, because I want to know, like, if you remember Nate Craig Myers several years ago, like, you see some guys that just, I mean, physically, you're like, okay, this is going to work. Rivaldo's more than that. He actually is an impact guy, but like you had said there, he's not somebody you're going to put out the numbers and say, go smoke somebody down the sidelines. Like, what is his actual role? Because he's an intriguing athlete, and he can move, and he's a big guy. Just, I don't know how it all fits together.
Yeah, I mean, he had a really good first season. I think what they're working with him on is just a consistency. You could probably go back, and I think Pro Football Focus had him with 6 drops last year, which is a tad high. He had a few, and like he had a number of games where he had a drop in each game. So I think they're working on not dropping any passes, and just making all those plays, because he'll make a great play, he'll make a tough catch, and then he will have a drop or two. And it's just saying, hey, you need to be that way all the time. You are a big physical guy. We're going to throw you the ball. The kind of play you made at Cal, the game-winning touchdown, you need to make that – in the Alabama game crossing the middle and don't drop a ball. So that's a big thing with him, consistency. And then I think the other thing with him is blocking in the box to allow him to stay on the field more often. He is a big dude.
Yes, he is.
But he wasn't always the best blocker. And so that was kind of their message to him was, hey, you're massive. Be better in the box. Be more physical. Block people. Like, you should be owning people, defensive ends and blocking downfield and stuff. So they're just working on, I think, just being more consistent. But gotta remember with him, he's still he didn't play football in high school till late, like his junior year. He's still a very raw prospect. And so I think if they can get some consistency with him, he'll be even better than he was last year. And last year he was one touchdown off Philip Lutzenkirchen's single season record, and he set a tight end record for catches last year. So, like, sky's the limit.
All right, talk Jeremiah Cobb, because he's a freshman last year, and I'm going to tell you, like, rightfully so, this is a great commentary for Auburn. It's one of the few that you can look at on the team and go, okay, I like this position. He's probably third or fourth at the running back depth chart, if that's what he is, really, a running back. Tell me what you think he is, because I saw him, like, in little thimblefuls of action last year, and I was like, this guy works. I just understand you only got one football, but, like, there's a role for this guy.
Yeah, I agree. I think probably right now I think he's probably third. Obviously, Jarquez and Damari, I just still think, are probably a little ahead of him because those are two good players. I think it'll be interesting because Jeremiah sort of had a role a little bit last year in some reverses and things like that, but they've upgraded some offensive talent, whether it's going out and getting Sam Jackson from Cal or Robert Lewis, or there's a few guys that could do some of the things Cobb did in terms of, like, those speed sweeps and stuff. So is Cobb going to get more carries as a traditional running back? Is he going to catch the ball in the backfield more? I think it remains to be seen. I mean, if you can't break through past Damari Alston and he's kind of the third back, his role could be similar to last year where he flashes at times, but there's just, you toss in Cam Coleman, you toss in Rivaldo. I mean, there's only so many guys that can get the ball. I don't know where Cobb fits in unless he breaks into that true number two role at the running back position. And as of right now, I don't know that he's done that. Damari's a physical guy and a leader on the team. And so I'm not sure. Jeremiah's going to be an interesting one. I think it's a big spring and fall for him to try to break through there and get on the field because he's got such great speed. He can be a factor.
And Auburn's got another giant freshman coming in the summer who's there to take some snaps as well. All right, flip it around to the other side. Eugene Asante, boy, I like him. And I don't know, I say this all the time on the show, we let our perception get colored by what the NFL career turns out to be or what the draft projection is or anything else. Eugene Asante last year, I saw him flying around. Talk about what's possible for his future.
Yeah, I mean, everything's sort of set up for him to have a fantastic year. I think he was really good last year. I think in coverage he could be a little better, but he was really a revelation. I mean, he was decent at North Carolina, but then he came over and just it didn't click. It's that one year with Brian Harsin and, Asante, I mean, he almost left the team. He's on scout team. It's crazy the turnaround he's had. And so I think everything sets up for him to have a really fantastic year. And Austin Keys, too. Austin Keys is a guy that injured last year with the thumb, missed some games, had the cast on. He's a guy that I think if he can stay healthy – people forget about because he missed some time last year. But him and Asante together, I think it's one of the better linebacking duos in the conference. I'm not saying the best, but I think that's a really good 1-2 punch if those guys stay healthy. Both big physical guys that can run. And Asante, yeah, I mean, he's just that typical Auburn linebacker that you think about the past. He just can track down the ball. He's not necessarily the biggest guy. He's not 235. But he just gets to the football, and so the way Jacoby McClain did, and those guys. So I think Keys and Asante, if they can stay healthy, are going to be a big, big deal because that defensive line is just a work in progress, and so those linebackers are going to have to be really good.
Okay, let's go off campus a little bit, and we just have to do this because the draft is such a big deal. Auburn, folks are used to come April, there's a first rounder, there's some second rounders, there's some third rounders. I don't know if that's going to happen this year. Who's the best Auburn, DJ James maybe? Who's the best Auburn prospect in the draft by your money?
Oh boy. I would probably, if you're asking me, I'd go Jalen Simpson. I think DJ James is really good. He's got some natural instincts as a corner, and he'll be a good corner and should play in the NFL for a good number of years. But Jalen is just – Jalen Simpson is an unbelievable athlete. And he's a guy that played a little bit of corner and played a lot of safety, so he's played both positions. He'll be a safety in the NFL, I imagine. But he's a guy that I think is just versatile enough to fit into a defense and do a lot of different things, play special teams. And his athletic ability is just second to none. I mean, I think he jumped 40 inches at the pro day. He's a 4'4 guy. I've watched him play basketball. He's unbelievable. And he's just a great kid, great attitude. Like, so for me, I love Jalen Simpson and what he can be. I think he's a good enough athlete and a good enough kid. And he's got some length with his arms. I think he could stay in the NFL for a lot of years.
Yeah,
safety, nickel, whatever.
They've got some day two, some day three. They got some very large humans on the defensive line, maybe day two or day three. So they're going to represent this year in the draft.
Nehemiah Pritchett. Yeah, they'll have guys drafted. It won't be first round, but Nehemiah will get drafted. DJ James, Marcus Harris will get drafted. They'll have some guys drafted, and all those guys I think can stick around in the NFL.
All right, man, I appreciate the insight. It's always good. Thank you, Justin.
You got it. Anytime.
Follow this man on Twitter, Jay Hokanson. Get him at On Three. He covers Auburn and does a wonderful job. So, Auburn, yeah, you're used to having some standout guys. There's supposed to be a Derrick Brown who, like, that was a button that Gus Malzahn could push. That, because no D lineman can, here's a go hard every play. Nah, not really. Not actually. So, what you do instead of having somebody just, it used to be you go hard every play because you didn't sub. Now you win a national championship. Go look at a team wins a national championship. Even odd, I don't care what they run up front. I bet you they have at least nine linemen that play, if not 10 or 11 or 12. That's not an absurd number. So, yeah, just different, man. All right, we're going to take a break, and we will come back, wrap up hour one next.
To Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
We got two really good young tackles. We want to be able to take advantage of, you know, their actual ability in the schemes. And you probably saw us moving them a lot more, pulling them, getting them involved in our offensive structure a lot more.
LSU head coach Brian Kelly, I'm a huge fan. Yes, you're going to win a national championship with him. An LSU fan listening right now, I thought it happened by now. He's been there 15 minutes. And for all of those minutes, he's had youngins, children. They could vote, but barely. Couldn't buy alcohol legally. My gosh, years away from being able to rent a car. So all that's youth, and he's had two kids like that at right tackle and left tackle, Zamory Jones and Will Campbell. If we go back to the beginning of the 2022 season, Florida State, now, give FSU credit. I don't know, man. You sign a two-game contract with LSU, one of them's in New Orleans, and then one of them's anywhere else. You're not going 2-0. Florida State went 2-0. Part of the reason Florida State won that opening game back from 2 years ago, did y'all watch that night? It was the Sunday night game. It was in New Orleans. It was the Mason Smith celebrated something, came down and hurt his knee. It was the blocked extra point or field goal. Hey, extra point or field goal? There's a kick.
It's extra point.
Extra point, thank you. They got blocked. So it was a really good game, a 24-23 final. Florida State won. Do you know why Buddy Campbell and Jones, they're monsters. Big, giant, huge kids who have played a lot of SEC football now. And we talked about this last week. Will Campbell's a guy that when he showed up spring practice, Brian Kelly, veteran coach, is like, all right, he practiced twice. He's the guy. He's the left tackle. If we went from that spring in 22 to that next week one, the opener, the Sunday night game in the Superdome, part of the reason Florida State got the win that night, 24-23, was there was part of the night where Will Campbell, it looked like Tatum Bethune had put him in a shopping cart and was rolling him around. That doesn't happen anymore. And Will Campbell's really, really good. Jared Verse showed up. He's like, oh, you had questions? No. I'm the next Jermaine Johnson. I'm going to be the first round pick. And then he hung around again, and he could be the first D-end edge guy, pass rusher. I'm going to blow up a quarterback, the first guy off the board. Byron Murphy might be the first defensive player if you want to tackle, I guess, maybe. I don't know. I want to hit a quarterback. And I like Dallas Turner because Dallas Turner don't care. When I say Dallas Turner don't care, Dallas is just about to leap. Did I hear the whistle? Nah, I don't care. I'm going to hit the quarterback. Like, is that close? And Dallas is like, nah, I'm going to hit the quarterback. I like that. Jared Verse has that as well. Jared Verse got all after the LSU backfield that night, and he went through Will Campbell. Will Campbell was an 18-year-old kid playing his first game. So that's just not the case anymore. Part of it is when you look at a guy who's a third or fourth or fifth-year player, sixth-year player, now seventh-year player. I've talked about this, and it's a theme, folks, and it matters in college football, not as much in the NFL. If I have a third, fourth, fifth, sixth-year player on the offensive line, I can physically just whip the guy no matter how many stars he comes up. Derek Burnett gets left out. Everybody, Jadeveon Clowney is a really good recent example of a five-star D-end who showed up, and he was just a monster. He wasn't a monster every single snap that he was on the field. Derek Burnett, I think, was the next year. Go look at his freshman season. Folks, sometimes kids show up and they're just great. Do you know the plays, even Jadeveon, even Derek Burnett, even whoever it is, the true freshman who showed up and you're like, my gosh, he's a stud. Do you know the plays when he wasn't? It's probably somebody who was half the overall player, but he's 22 or 23, and he got his mitts on him. The older brother at some point stops picking on you, but it's at some point. He's just bigger and stronger, and so you're going to wind up being without Jadeveon. I bet had an older brother. You know what he did until Jadeveon was about 12 or 13? Probably dealt it out. Then he was like, I'm not going to do that anymore. In college football, that matters. And Jared Verse is like, come here, young man. Not anymore. It's trial by fire. And he had his moments that night as well. Jared Verse had two sacks. So, advantage Jared. But Brian Kelly's right, man. They're grown men and they're monsters. What up, Heath?
So, I am not a big fan of RG3 as a commentator. Not on the pros, not on college. I'm just not a fan. Earlier in the week, you might remember Chuck talked about the fact that Deion Sanders put it out there. Hey, you know, his son, Shedeur Sanders, might try to manipulate his draft standing next year if he doesn't like the team he's going to be drafted by, if it's a cold weather city, something like that. This was RG3 chiming in on this subject on one of ESPN's Scream at Each Other shows.
Yeah, I mean, the power shift is coming, so everyone needs to buckle up. All these college coaches have been running to the NFL because they're upset that the college players have a little bit more power and a little bit more say. Well, guess what? Those same kids that they're running away from are the ones that are going to be coming up the ranks and coming into the NFL in the next few years. So Deion saying that either Shedeur or Travis Hunter are going to pull an Eli doesn't surprise me at all.
Well, it may not surprise you, RG3, but you can't do it these days. That's the part that frustrates me. The world has totally changed since Eli Manning came into the league. It's just like John Elway. There are guys that said, hey, I don't want to play for this team. You can't do that anymore in the NFL because all you'd be doing is moving yourself. If you say, I will not play for this team, you could sit out a year and you can wait and you can go back into the draft the next year. And you're going to get the same money next year, basically, that you would have gotten this year, except for probably a little less because your draft stock with a year away from football will probably drop in the next year. Again, there's no negotiating. Back then, you could say, I don't want to play for this team because the owner's cheap. It doesn't matter whether the owner is cheap, whether the owner is Jerry Jones and willing to spend every nickel he has to win. It doesn't matter. Your draft status is determined by where you go. That is, you will get a four-year contract with a fifth-year option for this amount of money, period. So there is no leverage of, well, next year somebody will pay me the money. You won't. And so what are you going to – let's say that this year – Coming up, you go to a city you don't want to go to. We'll say Minnesota bottomed out, and it's Minnesota, it's cold, you don't want to go there. Okay, so then what? Next year, if Detroit has a pick, you're just going to keep sitting out year after year after year? You have no control over who has the high picks in the draft. You have no leverage unless you plan to just never play pro football. You can't do it. You don't have the ability that you had once upon a time, and nor do you have the incentive to do it that way. So Deion can talk about that, and it might be good for recruiting, and it might be good to make it sound like next year, wherever it is that he approved of Shadur going there. Comparing anybody to Eli Manning is nonsense. It is a totally different structure. You cannot do it that way. And I'm not surprised at all that RG3, with that particularly useless and inane take, is the one who was saying it.
There are occasionally exceptions. Maybe if you're talented enough to go from college, bypass the NFL draft, and then be an American League left fielder, all-star left fielder the next year, maybe you can be.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over a million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Is there chaos in your closet?
Look, Blouse, you've got some nerve hanging there like that.
I can't help it. I'm jammed in here next to this suit.
Hey, I'm a three-piece, all right? Which means I need a little more room.
You've got a lot of attitude for a linen suit.
I'm a polyester blend, sweetheart. There needs to be room for men's clothes, too.
Hi, I'm Christina, and at Artisan Custom Closets, we help families organize and simplify their closets with customized storage solutions. See what's possible for your home at artisancustomclosets.com, and then call us for a free in-home consultation.